This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's been way too long since we have talked with Dave Harding, Duke Radio Network, man who invented the Cold Tub Chronicles. And he joins us on the Adam Gold Show right now. We're not just going to talk Duke. We're going to talk about a bunch of other things. First things first, Mr. Harding, it has been too long, but I have a question for you because I saw online somebody doing a Cold Tub Chronicles that appeared to not have Dave Harding Jr. as a part of it. Did you license that out? What happened?
I did give permission. First of all, I'm glad you always give me the respect that I'm due in creating the Cold Tub Chronicles. Kevin Hart has since come along and done his own thing with it. Several other schools have dabbled, which is okay. Imitation, obviously, the highest form of flattery.
Yes.
But Duke, the new creative team that Mike Elko has hired and brought on board, wanted to revitalize that, and it did not involve me getting in the cold tub, which I was upset about until I remembered what it felt like getting in. And they did something a little fun. I don't know if you got the chance to fully watch, but they had the player interview himself.
Yes.
And kind of cut the video together. It was creative. So you know what? I'll let the kids have their fun, and I'll still be able to bask in my glory with you whenever you have me on the air. So this is great. It all works out.
It's a great idea. I just wish you had monetized it, or maybe you did, and I'm not aware. All right. So let me you mentioned the new head coach, Mike Elko. For somebody who played for David Cutcliffe and then observed what David Cutcliffe was doing, or maybe in some cases not doing, as the head coach, which I guess is why Mike Elko is the new head coach, what has the transition been like? How different will they be over the last few versions of Duke football?
Yeah, I think the transition has been handled beautifully. I think Coach Elko, first of all, has taken a lot of time and spent a good amount of effort in getting to know the former players and really trying to get them plugged in. So, I've got a unique tie to the program doing radio and still being around, but he's brought in my former teammates, guys that played well before us and since. And that lifeline and the connection between that group and the current players and the coaching staff is better than it's ever been since, I've been a former player. And that helps with people feeling included. It helps with the energy around. I've been part of several great networking events where they bring in people, that are experts in a specific field that played football at Duke to give advice to the current players and open up different opportunities potentially for internships and conversations down the road. So I think from a relationship building perspective, which a lot of this business is about that, and people overlook it, Coach Elko's done a fantastic job. Definitely a different feeling around the Yo Football Center where their locker room and offices are. A lot more people on the staff. They've had to subdivide offices and get creative with finding places to house these folks, but there's clearly been a big emphasis in getting more recruiting folks in, more creative people. The weight room has a bunch of folks. So there's a staff that has been built that is certainly bigger than what David Cutcliffe had. And I think that bodes well for the product that you'll see on the field. More support staff equals more support for the players.
Yeah.
And a little more eyes on everybody. So I think while this is certainly going to be a process in creating the program that Mike Elko wants to have, he's got some personnel challenges, the depth I think that he would want to have. And that often happens when you take over. And now with the transfer portal, the way that it is, it's just a common issue that a new coach will face. But outside of that, kind of controlling the controllables, I think he's done a fantastic job.
What's interesting is that the transfer portal for a place like Duke could end up being a good thing, because especially there will be opportunities to play, especially for older players who maybe have some pro aspirations, but also are interested in the graduate part of what Duke could offer, the grad school part. You talk about former players, Dave Harding, and you're a former player. The whole thing with David Cutcliffe really began when former players sort of banded together and explained what their vision was for Duke football. So because there isn't a local fan base for the Blue Devils, and it's something that Cutcliffe fought for several years. Even when you guys were really good, he fought the lack of a local fan base. How can former players really help Mike Elko out?
I think by one, coming back to campus on game days, and there's been quite a bit of progress in trying to incentivize that with different ticket packages and tailgates, and people want to come back. At least people like me want to come and enjoy free food and drink, right? I mean, I traveled to remote portions of Maine this past weekend for a wedding for free food and free drink. It was a blast, primarily because of that. And so I think Coach Elko understands you've got to offer a little bit of something. You've got to offer an opportunity for community. And in building that community, having former players come in, you get more support. Obviously, donations can increase. All of that plays into what the game day atmosphere and environment is like. And they've done a great job also in trying to shuffle around the tailgating scene pregame here, consolidating it, because before it's kind of been spread across campus, and Duke's got a fairly large campus, so they're trying to bring it into one little area where people can see one another, engage one another, and build some of that energy. But you're right. I mean, I remember, we won 10 games my senior year, and the fans for the big games showed up, but it's not that same traditional, and quite frankly, a lot of our local schools struggle with that, but having people show up time and time again, like you might see in some other conferences or locales elsewhere.
Yeah, it was almost opponent dependent. I mean, great crowds when Central played, or when Carolina or State showed up, or Virginia Tech, certainly Notre Dame, but it was a little bit of a struggle otherwise. And you guys were good and deserved like full buildings, and Wallace Wade isn't that big a building. You should have been able to draw what Wake, like, the Wake atmosphere is really good. And, like, I thought Duke football deserved that kind of an atmosphere. David Cutcliffe deserved it, but it was hard to sustain. All right, so this team. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that. You can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. What are your expectations for this team? And I know they open with Temple, but what are your expectations for this group of Blue Devils?
I expect them to come out with a little more fundamental football focus and reduce some of the turnover issues that we've talked ad nauseum on this show about in years past. Also, scoring in the red zone. These are those big kind of buzzwords or phrases that analysts and football people throw out that kind of get taken for granted when your team is not doing them. You realize, oh wow, it is vastly important, and it's really difficult sometimes to rectify some of those things, those issues that plague folks. So I think this year the expectation is to see a lot of fight and an attitude in this team, one with a chip on their shoulder, realizing maybe they have not represented themselves the way that they could have and or should have the past several seasons with a lot of the talent that stays on board. And then beyond that, playing the fundamental football game and focusing, and I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but blocking, tackling, being as physical as you possibly can, and sustaining drives, these scoring drives need to get back into what's normal in Durham. So I truly do expect to see that. I think when we look at kind of the trajectory of what Coach Elko has on his plate over the next several years, this year is the best opportunity to get that started, just because of some of the non-conference opponents, the way that the conference opponents also shake out. I mean, it gets much more difficult now as the Coastal and Atlantic divisions go away,
right,
and you get a new mix of kind of rotating folks in. That's going to be tough on Duke. They're going to see the likes of NC State more often, and all the different schools rotating in more is going to make it more challenging to create momentum and then to sustain it. So this year, not to say that Temple cannot come in and beat Duke, they certainly are capable of it. They've got some very good talent that are ready to get going as well. But with some of the other Group of Five opponents, some of the non-conference schedule, playing Northwestern, Kansas, I think Duke's got an opportunity here to start a solid foundation and move forward. I think a bowl game is within the realm of a realistic possibility. It's just about how they do a non-conference first and foremost.
Hopefully there is a bowl in their future in year one. I like Mike Elko. I like Mike Elko a lot. I hope it works out well. I know you and I both had very warm feelings for Coach Cutcliffe. I'm sorry that the last couple of years weren't as good. Everything runs its course.
No doubt. And I was just talking to Dennis before I came on with you, but it's like, I'm so sick of talking preseason football, right? And what to expect. Like, as a player, and part of the reason I get just so fed up with, like, what are we going to see? It's because I never even had a good sense of how good we were going to be.
Right.
When we won the Coastal Division my senior year, I had no clue. I knew we had put in a lot of work.
Right.
I knew it meant a lot to everybody, and we had a good group returning. But after, we go weeks in preseason working on stuff and scrimmages, you roll out there for the first kickoff, and everybody's kind of looking at each other like, we'll see how this thing turns out. And I think there are more variables that play, obviously, with this, given the transition that you're referencing with David Cutcliffe moving on and Mike Elko stepping in. But at the end of the day, I think this group of players and coaches are just excited to get started. And then you kind of have to make adjustments and figure out what your personality is going to be as you proceed. But having been down at practice and seen what they're working on, they're definitely off to the right start. But it's kind of like, let's hold our breath and see how this thing goes.
Well, you guys lost your first two conference games that year and then ripped off six straight wins. And I thought we're very competitive with Florida State in Charlotte at the ACC championship game. Probably gave Florida State as much as anybody gave them that year. I know the final score doesn't look like it, but I was there for the game. Right, but I was there for that game, and I thought, you guys were borderline dirty in that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, shoot, my nickname was Dirty Dave. Come on.
you got to
find a way.
All right.
But, I mean, I think that's when a team like Duke, dirty might not be the word, but you got to have a little it factor. and maybe it's a nasty streak, a mean streak,
right,
is a better, I think, way of saying it, where you're watching O linemen finish people down the field and, you know, gang tackling on defense. Like, Duke is a school where obviously challenging to get certain players in with just the grade limitations and everything. But at the end of the day, if you've got a bunch of really smart, talented, but just mentally tough players, I think that's what can set the Blue Devils apart. And I do think that that's been a focus and emphasis during the offseason for Mike Elko and especially his strength staff and trying to create that kind of personality. Because I truly believe in 2013, 2012, we weren't necessarily more talented than Carolina or NC State on paper. We found a way to get it done, and part of it was that mean streak and
yep,
playing with a chip on your shoulder.
Dave Harding, appreciate your time. Duke Radio, Blue Devils take on Temple this weekend, I think Friday night. Here's the thing. You know, Dave admits it. Duke was dirty that year. And I appreciate just kind of coming to grips with that. And that's all good. That was what I took out of that conversation. I appreciate your time, man. Obviously, that's not true. Duke is an incredibly clean team. Not really.
I can't believe we didn't talk wine. This is the first time. Mark
next
it
time.
Down in the history books.
Next
that means you got to have me back on.
All the time. You're the man. I appreciate your time, man.
Sounds good. Let's get some football going.
You got it. Dave Harding. How about that? Admitting that Duke was dirty. They really weren't, but that's fine. He didn't really admit that. I'm just kind of causing trouble.
Hey, folks, this is Car Town Kia Florence. Do you make at least $300 a week? If you said yes, we can get you into a new vehicle. Whether you want to drive home in a new Telluride or new Sportage, our goal is 100% credit approval no matter your history. We have over 20 lenders that want to approve you. Get pre-approved online in minutes with no effect to your credit score. If you make at least $300 a week, drive home in a new Kia today. Visit CarTownKiaFlorence.com to learn more. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
We are underway in a couple of Premier League matches. Palace and Brentford are 0-0 early. Fulham, Brighton also without goals, very, very early.
We're on like, what, eighth minute, roughly? In
yeah, fifth minute, seventh minute, respectively. I did neglect to mention that it's the big Magellan Trinity match today, middle school football.
Oh.
Up at we call it the ship at Magellan. So I'll be headed there. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock kickoff at the ship.
Give me a draw plus 245.
No. It's got to be a win. It's got to be a win for Magellan today.
Mm.
Their match at Trinity last year was a massacre. Trinity.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
It was like a 9-0?
No, it wasn't. They didn't mercy rule us.
Oh, okay.
But it was like 6-0. It was like 6-0.
Okay.
Yeah. My kid played well, but he allowed 6.
Yeah.
Nothing you could do about it. Anyway. With that said, we're continuing our NFL Cities Tour. We did Landover yesterday.
Yeah.
Ral John.
Yeah.
Which was a real thing. This time, not that different, to be honest.
No. No, it's not that
different. Foxborough, Massachusetts. Tell me all the great things to do in Foxborough.
You can go swim in the reservoir.
Well, there's a thought.
Actually, I don't know if you're allowed to swim in the reservoir. I just know there is one.
There's a reservoir.
Yeah, might as well
generally,
do it.
They don't let you swim in reservoirs.
No, they don't. Sometimes they let you fish in them.
In a reservoir? Okay.
Yeah. I don't think you can take boats out on them, though. You can fish from the banks.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think you're allowed to do that.
Okay.
If you actually do want to get outside, there's a state forest there, F. Gilbert Hills State Forest.
Okay, that's nice.
So you can go do that.
What do they have? Just trees? Is there anything else?
I mean, you just,
are there trails?
Yeah, there's trails. Yeah, it's a state forest. Yeah,
okay.
Trails.
All right, good.
I'm sure it's well-maintained paths. By the way, stop by the Patriots Hall of Fame. I'm pretty sure it's just a shrine for the 2001 through current Patriots.
No, the, see, excuse me.
And Jim Plunkett.
Back in the day, I mean, the Patriots have always been pretty much mediocre until this iteration.
Yeah.
Right? But Steve Grogan was a very good quarterback. I mean, really good quarterback. That's a team that got to the Super Bowl. Remember, they lost to the 85 Bears, a million to less than a million. They got hammered. They allowed Refrigerator Perry to score a touchdown on them.
Yeah.
Well, but they had Mark Van Egan, and Irving Fryer was on that team.
That's right.
I mean, they have had a handful of good players. Yeah, I mean, Jim Plunkett was a draft. I think it was an original Patriot.
May I?
He was drafted by the Patriots, and he really achieved his fame with the Raiders, won two Super Bowls with the Raiders. Yeah, but there's not a lot of Patriot history beyond 2001.
I say it's just a shrine for Tom Brady. I'm sure it's all it is.
And Gronk.
Yeah, and Gronkowski. I'm sure there's some, like, Troy Brown wing.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
There has to be. Pretty sure Matthew Slater, who's still on the team, probably has a haul. Because, you know, he's one of our guys. Yeah, I bet Teddy Bruschi actually has himself a nice little corner.
There's no doubt. There's a Richard Seymour wing, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Vince Wilfork.
Oh.
He could have a wing.
Yeah, well.
No question.
The massive individual he needs.
So is there anything to do in Foxborough have something to do with the Patriots?
Swing by the Bass Pro Shops. There's a Bass Pro Shop.
Oh,
yeah, there's a Bass Pro Shop. You ever been to a Bass Pro Shop?
Yeah, there's a giant one in Cary.
Yeah, it's an amusement park in those things.
Really? I've never been inside.
Yeah, I think there's one down in Garner as well.
Well, there's one I know on the highway between here and, is it Greensboro? Is it just past Greensboro? My gosh.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I tell you, Bass Pro Shops are amusement parks in and of themselves. But if you do want some fun indoor activities, stop by Extreme Craze. They got the, the trampolines with the dodgeball and the laser tag and all that kind of stuff.
I like that. By the way, Tony Collins, I believe, is either an ECU guy or a North Carolina resident.
Okay.
Who is a former Patriot.
Okay.
Also, John Hanna, one of the great offensive linemen.
Oh, well, good for them.
Yeah.
Well, again, we're not talking football here. We're just talking.
Right. We're just talking about things to do in Foxborough.
And there is.
And those guys are not
Hall
in Foxborough anymore.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's it. That honestly, that's right. Really about it. I mean, there's some restaurants and stuff, whatever.
I need your donut shop. Did you know that the man who invented patent leather, Seth Boyden, is from Foxborough, Massachusetts?
Wow.
Fake leather. That's what Foxborough gave us. Pleather. Congratulations. Okay. You win, Foxborough.
Yes. Congratulations, all of you. I really hate doing this.
Oh, no. Yes. Yes, you're in Massachusetts. You have no choice.
There are no. There is no other choice
because
for donuts.
There is no other donut.
In Foxborough, Massachusetts, it's just Dunkin' Donuts.
Thank you.
I'm sorry that everyone's I'm going to give you
No, sorry. It's a great donut, and they have wonderful coffee.
Okay. I really am sorry.
What a running gag this is.
To all the people out there listening, am sorry that Dunkin' Donuts is the only place to get donuts.
I realize they are mass-produced, but Dunkin' Donuts is a quality donut. Meaty donut. They don't put bacon on it.
Meaty and donuts should not go together.
It's a cake donut. It's a cake donut. You actually have to chew it. There you go.
I'm sad.
And you can think about patent leather.
God, gross.
In Foxborough.
Jeez. Okay. Right. Well, we have six cities left. We are going to finish in Charlotte.
Finish on a high note.
On Thursday next week.
That's right. We are doing Charlotte the last one.
Yes. So I'll actually put Dunkin' Donuts cup to use once again. Golly. I can't believe Dunkin' Donuts.
It's fine.
Actually, the fact that Dunkin' Donuts is on our list with places like Frangelli's Bakery.
How have they not sponsored this yet? That's what I don't understand. That's what I don't get.
Stan's Donuts in Santa Clara. I ordered a Stan's Donuts t-shirt, by the way.
Did you really?
That's how all of this donuts thing started, was from Stan's Donuts in Santa Clara.
Well, that wasn't our first donut shop.
No, it wasn't. Well, okay. I told the story with Josh Graham because we had Santa Clara last week.
Right.
So the origin of how donuts popped up in all the city lists was when you and I were talking about the idea of doing this each day, I mentioned, oh, yeah, we got to actually go to the cities where they actually play. You had brought that up. I was like, oh, yeah. Well, I know there apparently is a great donut place in Santa Clara called Stan's Donuts. And you're like, you got to mention that. I was like, well, you know, I'm just going to find a donut spot in every city.
We got them.
We have. Golly, okay. Stan's Donuts in there. Three of the last four donut shops we've gotten have been Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons.
Krispy Kreme, which I love Krispy Kreme.
Right.
Dunkin'.
Mass-produced.
Oh, they're around Stan's Donuts.
Mass-produced donuts.
All right. Oh, guess where we're going tomorrow. Nashville.
Oh,
Titans.
Man.
Oh.
I want a
Bachelorette Party Central. Gosh. Let's go.
I want a Nashville hot donut.
A Nashville hot donut?
Well, a Nashville hot's a chicken sandwich.
Oh, okay.
I want a Nashville hot donut. I'm sure you can. Never mind.
Okay.
Never mind. All right. Well,
we can make it.
That's good. Nashville tomorrow. Charlotte next Thursday for the NFL opener between the Bills and the Rams.
So, yeah, Nashville tomorrow and the other remaining cities outside of Charlotte. We still have to touch on Pittsburgh.
Oh, my God.
Still got to go there. Still got to go to the Dolphins.
We're just going
to
spend 5 minutes talking about Permane Brothers.
Yeah, we are. We got to go, obviously, to Houston, and we still got to go to New Orleans with the Saints.
Oh, my God.
So, we've actually got some really good spots coming up.
Oh, we're going to talk about overrated donuts when we get to New Orleans. All right, we'll do that later.
This is the Adam Gold Show.